morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I got a phenomenal show for you today. Absolutely phenomenal. Rocco's just a longtime friend of this program. You know that. We have Danny Ward and Mike Como, and we're going to be talking about, well, filmmaking and also how COVID really kicked these folks in the gut. So sit back and enjoy it. For those people that are waiting for me to read their announcement, I'll do it at the end of the show because I don't want to hold these guys up. They have real jobs. So, Rocco, how are you, my brother?
I'm doing well. I'm much better now than I was sweating it out in New York City.
Oh,
we left last Friday, and it was wild. We left, and you could see all the particles in the air and the smoke from Canada. So we were happy to get back up here.
I'll bet.
But you know, the last time I was up here, I escaped it. And then I got up here and it followed me. The air was worse here than it was in New York the next day.
Yeah. So, well, you know, I have that Agent Orange lung problem. So I basically didn't stray too far from the house. And doctors said, you know, and it's a red warning, dude, you can't breathe as it is. This will not be any good. So, but Danny, Michael, introduce yourself and tell us, give us a 30,000 foot overview of who you are and what you do. You must be good because you hang around with Rocco. Go ahead.
I'm Danny Ward. I'm a writer, director, filmmaker, and have been lucky to have worked with and known Rocco for years now.
Danny, you weren't here when I told Michael, and Rocco already knows, if you ever need someone to play a dead body, I'm available. I can hold my breath for 3 minutes.
Oh, good to know.
I'll have you contact my agents, my wife. Michael, what about you?
Yeah, I'm Michael Como, and I'm an actor and producer based in Brooklyn. And I think under the circumstances, I'll share a funny story of how I met Rocco, which is we did a reading of a play, and it was a great play by Lee Blessing, and we rehearsed all day, and then we did the public reading, and then we had such a good time afterwards. I sheepishly approached Rocco, who I'd only just met that day. This is about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, do you think we could, like, I don't know, be friends or something and hang out sometime? Rocco kind of looked at me like, yeah, no problem. Let's get a cup of coffee. And he was doing a Broadway show at the time. And we met, you know, just, I think it was the Edison Hotel. We met in the old by the Edison Hotel for a coffee and a sandwich. And that was the beginning. So for all you listeners, go with your gut and ask for a second meeting, because you just might get to have coffee with the one and only Rocco Sisto.
That's true. Or the one and only Michael Cuomo. Yeah. I have to say that the Edison Hotel was sort of like the Sardis for all the real actors.
Yeah.
That because they had, they had an old style menu. It wasn't really expensive. The best matzo ball soup, great for your throat.
Yeah.
If between shows, people would always go there, hamburgers and fries. And, you know, it was one of those, when I heard that some corporation had bought the hotel and was going to close the Edison restaurant in the hotel, I thought, well, that's it. That was and we're losing them. Well, you know, those little places, it's all becoming, Cold Stone Creamery and Starbucks and stuff like that. So, but it was one of the last real deal restaurants in New York. You would see everyone there. I mean, you know, I remember people coming in between shows. I remember Roger Reese would go there between a show, and I'd see him and everyone. Everyone was nodding to each other. Yeah. Oh, how'd you, you know? And we'd all be talking about the latest cold or the flu that was running rampant through whatever company it was. And so anyway, but, you know, that little brotherhood is now, you know, sadly dissolved. But through the wonders of the internet, we still got it together, except for the matzo ball soup.
Yeah, well, I'll do my best, but I wouldn't eat it. It is amazing. You brought up something that I grew up here in Pittsfield, and there was a variety store on every corner. And, you know, I can remember my mother would give me a dollar to go get a loaf of bread, a quart of milk, and a package of Pall Malls. I didn't need a note from my mother, because they knew I wouldn't dare smoke them because my mother would kill me. But I could have, guess what? A nickel was left. And I think I was just driving by one of the stores that is all boarded up just on the way home today. And good times, you know, the memories you make. So, yeah. Danny, how did you get into this film business?
I started young. I made my first when I was 5 using a video camera and some Legos, and I never stopped. I was 7 when I told my parents I didn't think I was going to make it into the NBA, so I think filmmaking is going to be where I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And they were great. They planned accordingly. Birthday presents and Christmas presents after that were filmmaking books and...
Yeah,
we'd go see movies. They'd sit me down afterwards and ask how I thought they did it, how they did this effect, how they made this look this way, how they did this. And I love it with every part of my body. It is my favorite thing in the world. Wow.
And, you know, folks that are listening and viewing on TV, listening on the radio, especially parents and grandparents, pick up on what Danny just said. You know, it's what Danny wanted to do, not what you wanted Danny to do. And I think too often, sometimes parents, grandparents overstep that. I'm a grandparent now, so I thanks Danny for sharing that. And you ought to thank your parents, because
I do.
Yeah, I bet you do. I really do bet you do. And I have to tell you a story about Rocco. Rocco lives in the same neighborhood that I do, and there's not a lot of stars on this neighborhood. I mean, a lot of people, but not a lot of stars. Anyhow, so one of the neighbors said to me, "Hey, did you see that guy walking down the street?" I said, "Yeah, that's Rocco." "I think he's in movies." I said, "No, he's not in movies." And later I finally said, you know, but, I don't know if you guys know anything about the Berkshires. Rocco can fill you in. It is a wonderful place to live. Bring up a family. So
I've actually been to Pittsfield several times to visit Rock. And the first time I came up, it was to see him in a production of he was playing Max in
The Homecoming
at the Berkshire Festival. I think that was my first time up at the house as well. And it was September. So the drive up from Brooklyn was picturesque, and all the leaves were turning. It was late September.
Wow.
And it was just a wonderful introduction to the Berkshires and Pittsfield specifically.
So this venture that Danny, that you got these two guys in, I just saw a clip. Rocco sent me a clipper to see it. You know, they're both so freaking talented, man. I'm telling you. Know that. That's why you do what you do. You pick out talent. So I won't send you my resume. Last time I did a musical, I started this thing, and they thought it was a fire drill. The people were running out so fast. But how did you come up? Tell me about how this whole creation took place, please.
Yeah. It's a hardship being friends with such talented actors. it makes my job as a writer all the more fun. So Superman came about, Michael and I had been working on a feature film of mine before COVID that kind of had the brakes slammed on it when everything shut down. And, you know, as we went through lockdown, I was writing, I was working on stuff as much as I could. And as we started to look at getting that feature made, we realized it was not very COVID friendly. It was kind of a lot of people in small apartments. So I started working on other ideas. And as the year set forth, it was like, you know what? I just don't think it's the time to make a feature right now. We're seeing so many of our friends start and the productions are ending up in these nightmare cycles of having to shut down and re-raise money and all the things they had to do. So we said, let's write a short and shoot it in a weekend in Michael's apartment. So I set some rules and parameters for myself of what I had to work with. I really wanted to work with Rocco and Michael. I really wanted to work with a father-son dynamic between them. And I had Michael's living room. So I said, go. And it was a really fun story. It was a long day of bouncing around ideas. And I was looking at an old picture of my grandfather and started thinking back to one of my favorite memories of my dad's dad on Thanksgiving one year. He was a dentist and had a wonderfully sick sense of humor. And one year on Thanksgiving, we went up to Port Huron, Michigan, where I'm near where I'm from. And we went and got our teeth cleaned every Thanksgiving. When we'd go up, Grandpa would do a teeth cleaning and he's like, oh, you got a tooth that we need to pull. So he gives the two shots of Novocaine for the tooth. And then just for fun, he gives me six more all over my mouth.
Wow.
So we get back to Grandma's house for dinner and I can't eat. My mouth is just numb the whole day. And the script just kind of came from there. I was like, what if it's two people sitting down having a conversation? I love the movie, My Dinner with Andre. So
yeah.
Wanted to pay some homage to just two great actors sitting at a table telling each other stories. And I love writing about death. So I was like, well, what if one of them just died?
When you, you know, Danny, I love you already, but I'm 76 years old. I'm not, you know, when somebody says, your license expires, it's a hey, my license runs out, doesn't expire. What touched me, the piece that I saw was the interaction in the acting between, was so real. I mean, I could see me doing that with my own father or grandfather. You're right. They're geniuses to work with. They make it, Rocco really upsets me. I haven't seen that much of Michael's stuff, but Rocco upsets me because he makes it so easy. Now all these wahawks want to be an actor, you know. And you listen, you Rocco will tell you, with the summer in the fall, I do a lot of interviewing of actors and good actors and actors, and this is my famous story. This lady comes in, it's an hour of free advertising, right? Hour. She comes in and she said, excuse me. Yep. How long will this be? I said, well, it can end right now. You know, and the producer and the director and the two stars go, no, we want to do this. I said, why do you ask? She said, I have to rehearse for my part. Oh, I said, oh, she must be a big shot in the film. So anyway, I'm talking and she, about 30 minutes in, she, I must go and rehearse. She left and they're all like looking at her like, well, I didn't say anything. I went to the play. Okay. This was her part. Madam, shall I bring in the tea now? You got Rocco, you got Michael, you got real. This woman was going to blow an hour of free advertising because she had to rehearse for that. I could train my dog to do that. You know, but
no, I have to say something about Danny. There are times you walk onto a set and you're terrified and nothing works because the set is really tense. And yeah. There are times when you walk onto a set and everything is beneficent, and there's no they make it so that it's easy for you to work. And when you find those types of people, you know, those writer, director, producers, you keep them close. And, you know, I remember Judi Dench wrote to someone once. She did something in a film for them. And then she wrote to them again and said, I want to be in your next film, even if it's to, I think she said, even if it's to be the shadow in a doorway. Wow. And I think, and that's who you know, that, and you do that. You say to those people, I want to work with you. I will, you know, and then there are times when you work with someone and you run as fast as you can and see if the check cashes and bounces or not. And, and like Mike said, you know, what you do is you click with someone and you say, hey, wait a minute, I like you. We can do some stuff together. And we already work together. And Michael and I had a lot together. And so does Danny with, because he's half Italian, though he doesn't, you know, the name belies the ethnicity, but he eats like an Italian and cooks like one. But, you know, when you find someone that you can share things with, and, you know, Michael and I share a lot about, you know, the immigrant mentality. He comes from the poor Cuomos, you know. He doesn't come from the rich Cuomos. The Baltimore Cuomos.
He didn't run for politics. he chose acting over politics. There's no money in acting compared to politics. Come on.
Oh, my God, no. I mean, come on.
But there's a lot of politics in acting.
I'll bet there is. Danny, how can... is this film out for... can people get this?
Yeah, people can watch it now. It's on YouTube on a channel called Crafty. That's a great short film outlet made by filmmakers to help give short films more voice. So you can search for Superman short film on YouTube. It's also on Vimeo, Superman short film. It's 21 minutes. Of brilliant, brilliant acting by Michael and Rocco.
Yeah, we're gonna say that several times through the show, Danny, because I want people to have no access to that, if that's okay with you guys, because, I think it was brilliant on your part, and I'll just say this, and I just met all of you. COVID some people just shut down. I mean, they really just shut down. I had the good fortune of having a great backup team of engineers and people, and they built a studio in my house. This isn't real. I mean, I'm down in the Bay. I'm half a block from Rocco. I'm going over after for some vino. But you know what? In the military, they used to say when it went south, improvise and overcome. And Danny, Michael, and Rocco, that's what you did with the short film Superman. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about you. And you made things happen when everybody else just said, oh, we can't do that. So and I mean that from my heart. Right. We had, I'm sure you guys know, we had Julianne Boyd and we had Kate McGuire. They did two outdoor live performances during the height of COVID. And two ladies from the Berkshires, they got all these big shots in Hollywood and Broadway and everything. And they're all stuck in their apartments going, we can't go out without our masks, you know? And I can't tell you how much I applaud you guys for doing it.
Well, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. I think in some ways, well, first of all, thank you. And I think in some ways, you know, when you're in this field, the arts, generally, whether that's writing, directing, acting, yeah, producing, scoring, whatever it is, it's your job, and it's also your, it's your life, right? It's your life
passion.
Is creation. And on the really good days, the work has the possibility of being something that might change someone's life or be yeah, prophetic in some way to an audience. And so, you know, to be stripped of that is in some ways to be stripped of one's identity during yeah, during a time like COVID. And
oh, that's,
you know, I don't want to over, you know, traumatize this, but I think, you know, I remember when Danny reached out with this script, and I remember him presenting this idea, and then we went to Rocco, and then we went to our friend Christine, and built out a small crew. But it was like, oh, thank God, you know, this is a way of working on something profound during an unparalleled time in our lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was simple and straightforward enough that we were able to do it in a way and with a crew of people that everyone felt safe and looked after. And yet, I think, you know, to Rocco's point earlier, the set was calm, and there was also a freedom to really just jam, like when you see musicians at 2 a.m. at the Blue Note or something,
yeah, yeah,
improvising and riffing off of one another's energy. That, on the best sets, that's what happens between actors and the director and the director of photography, is it's just this wonderful dance. And to have been deprived of that for so long, for yeah, much of COVID, and then to suddenly be doing it again. And hey, it was very convenient for me. I didn't have to leave my house.
So, yeah, you know, yeah.
I had to clean the house, but I didn't have to leave the house.
You know,
you know. You cooked a few things.
That's the plus side, Michael. The negative side is look at all the people you had in there. I'm just saying, you know.
That's right. That's right.
But, you know, here, as you know, the Berkshires, in the summer, in the spring and fall, there's so much going on. I mean, you could be at a live performance just about every night of the week. And when COVID hit, and then Rocco will tell you, it was a cultural desert.
Yeah.
I mean, Tanglewood was closed. The theaters were closed. You know, Jacob's Pillow was closed. And I think the resurgence of, everybody's having, I guess, from what I'm hearing, a great year at the theater and Tanglewood and places like that. I think it's because people just want to get that back. They want to get this back, this live theater, music, Tanglewood. I was just at a thing at Tanglewood. It's Al Jawa Hall, Kids for Harmony. It just made your heart feel good. These are kids that are given a chance to learn how to play the violin some, and it was amazing. That's all I'm going to say. The place was packed, but in Tanglewood is now, I forget how many people James Taylor had there, Rocco. It was in
thousands.
Thousands. Oh yeah. 20 something thousand people. Just seeing it happen. And Danny, thanks for having that brainstorm. You guys, thanks for playing in it. I mean, being part of it's got to be great. Go ahead,
Dave. I think filmmaking itself is a lot of creative problem solving. I like to describe a film as like it's the biggest puzzle you can imagine putting together, but there's no map. There's no front of the box. You just have tons of unmarked pieces, and you know, you put together teams of people that hopefully come together and work cohesively and want to work a certain way. But I think COVID gave me as a filmmaker a chance to really take a breath that generations before that other filmmakers that at no other time have I felt like people were given the opportunity to take a breath and reevaluate how I'm doing things.
Yeah.
And why I'm doing things and what I'm doing. And it's not just about because I put the next foot forward is why I walk, but it's like, well, why am I walking? Could I run? Could I lie down? Maybe I'll take a nap. That's kind of nice. And getting the chance to like really approach a project from the beginning. Michael and I had a really big discussion when we set out to raise the money. We did a Seed and Spark campaign crowdfunding to raise the money for Superman and had overwhelming support. We reached our goal in 4 days out of the 30. It was just people were so hungry to be a part of some creation, to be a part of something. And we took the responsibility of that to heart by saying, you know, well, let's make sure people are getting paid the right rates. Let's make sure people are fed the right way. Let's make sure the making of the film is as enjoyable as the releasing of the film. Yeah. Because so often it's this struggle and then you dance at the wrap party. But like, what if it's a dance from start to finish? What if you can just have a smile on your face the whole time while we do the thing that we love most?
Yeah. And but you bring that. If I may. You, Danny, Danny, you bring that. I can tell just by... someday when we're off here, we'll talk about my background. And you, but it's easy for me to sense that you brought that to this recording session or whatever you call it, because you had a vision, you had a belief, and you I just from meeting with, I can feel what makes you tick a little bit, and that was. You want people to enjoy being with you and working with you.
Yes.
I work for bosses. They didn't have that same feeling.
Yeah. See, I have to say, you know, there's a big difference between how people approach what we do. And there's a thing that when they talk about us, they talk about us, and my hackles always go up when I hear us talking about the industry as opposed to the profession. Because how we perceive ourselves as members of an industry is very different than how we perceive ourselves as members of a profession. And because that equality that we all give to each other, that I have to tell you that besides being a wonderful writer and a producer, Danny's an amazing editor. You know, I mean, that he does amazing work. And so when you have that sort of support, I was always, you know, when you are asked to come to a set and you say, okay, and then they say, oh, and a car is picking you up. And it's an independent film. I'm thinking, no, you can't do that. And they, you know, how many times did they say to me, no, you are going to take a car. You're going to be taken care of. And I'm like, and of course, after I hear that, and after they treat you like you're in a profession as opposed to, you know, thank you, bye. there's a vast difference. You know, there's an old thing about any actor in the old days. Go up to any box office in the country, and there was a secret code for any actor to see any show. Wow. And all he had to do was walk up to a box office and say, do you respect the profession? Just that phrase. And you would automatically, they would give you a ticket to see the show because it's part of your profession. It's not your industry, it's your profession. And when you know, everyone, God,
I also love, Rocco, that ties it to like the old world, the traveling storytellers, you know, the Greek poets who would go from town to town. It ties it all back to that same profession. That role in society, that duty that we have to the rest, to share stories, to expand minds, to
the human condition, you know, the human condition. And that's what, you know, that I have to say that, you know, Danny also has another screenplay up his sleeve, which, you know, talks about that, you know, about shared humanity. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story, you know, and
you don't need any dead bodies, do you? Just check. If you do, call me. Rack knows how to get a hold of
me. I think
I can see your pulse a little bit. We could give you a line, you know?
Okay. All kidding aside, I will tell you, I've known Rocco for a few years now, and I say this as a friend. I think his time with mastering Shakespeare, I really think round help. He's a magnificent. He can play any part, but you know, I here's a war story. I wouldn't go to see Shakespeare with a gun to my head, and because we had it in high school and it was freaking tedious. Oh, yeah. You know, we would go down the aisle. You know, if it came to you and it was Juliet and you were Big Mac, well, guess what, Big Mac, you're Juliet now. And then a lady that I have the greatest respect for, her name is Kathy Yan, was a advanced placement teacher, not for me, but and she was the chairperson of the school board for a long time. She said Shakespeare was never meant to be read.
Never.
Meant
never.
To be acted. And somewhere in the transition with education, that got lost.
Yeah,
and Rock will tell you that Shakespeare and Company, they go to a high school here, and I've interviewed the kids, and one girl said to me, she said, when I came here, I was a wallflower. I was shy, and I didn't want, my friends made me try out for Shakespeare and Company's, I forget what play it was. And she said, if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be on your show today. So, I mean, what do you think, Rock? You went through that. It's
well, you know, it's interesting because it's the whole thing about how we accept ourselves by what we're told we should do. And the one great thing about Shakespeare and Company was that we were told that it's our language.
Yeah,
you know, that's the way we, you know, and when. You know, you find out that Shakespeare invented 4,000 words that had never been in the English language before. And then you connect that to kids in high school who are always inventing words and popular culture, which invents words. And, you know, I when you go see a play like Hamilton and you look at it and, you know, at my ear, I'm listening to the rhyming couplets and then I'm listening to the rhyming internal couplets so that there's a rhyme in the middle of a couplet that rhymes with the middle of a couplet. The next line, I'm thinking, wait a minute, this guy knows Shakespeare. This guy knows what a heartbeat and the rhythm is. And that's popular culture, you know? Yeah. And when you can connect those two things, when you connect that string to the heart of the connection between actor and audience, when that happens, you know, it's wild. I've had friends who talk about getting stopped by cops for speeding in Berkshire County, and they're from Shakespeare and Company, and they have a, you know, and the cop will start reciting stuff that they learned as a kid at Shakespeare and Company, you know, from Julius Caesar, or they'll, you know, and because it's not for highbrows, and you know, it's not an English accent, as I've screamed and hollered all the time about how the language is ours, and so that when we, and you know, it's about us, you know, and it's about shared humanity, and that's what draws me to people like, you know, Danny and Mike, because we have that. And it's a lot to do with, you know, food and culture and, you know, living in the city and overcoming obstacles and having, you know, or not, you know, or buckling under and you know, having to start over and get up over and over and over again. Yeah. You know, someone, you know, it's just, don't take no for an answer. That was Ruth Gordon's, you know, you remember Ruth Gordon. From Rosemary's Baby. She got the Academy Award. I think she was 80 or 75 or something. And she thanked the Academy for, you know, giving her this little this little impetus to keep on going at the age of 75. But her big thing was, and she was told, you know, you're too ugly, you look too Jewish, you sound bad. And she said, I never took no for an answer. And it's hard-headedness, but that's what we have to do. And that's how things get done, you know.
We're going to have to take a quick break here. Okay. 1 minute break. Please stay tuned, folks. This is an experience that this is behind the stage. This is how the, basically a film is made, a play is performed. We got great actors. We got a great producer, director, editor, and you got a bald-headed fat guy for a host. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PC TV channel Spectrum Cable, channel 1301. We'll be right back in just 1 minute.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from BeFair. BeFair is one of the largest premier human service agencies in Berkshire County. If you're looking for services for a loved one or are interested in caring for the people we support, visit BeFair.org today for available opportunities.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We are back. This is a wonderful group of people. The guy, Rocco Sisto, you recognize him. He's a famous actor. Michael Como, he's an actor. And Danny Ward is a writer, a producer, and editor. What they did, which I think is brilliant, rather than succumbing to the weight of COVID and the shutdown of all entertainment, Danny wrote a film, directed it, and Michael and Rocco were in it, and it's called Superman. And it's a short, and Danny's going to tell you how you can find it on YouTube, because is Rocco will attest, I don't remember where I parked the car, never mind addresses. So at my age, that's about correct. But listen to this show, because as they say about politics, this is how the sausage is made. Whenever I do one of these shows, the feedback I get from the people is, hey, thank you, because I always wanted to ask that question. How did you memorize your part? You know, or what made you do this? And I just think acting to me in entertainment as a whole, I saw just a plug for my friends. I saw two plays in the last week. Cabaret at Berkshire Theater, Barrington Stage. I'm sorry, Barrington Stage. I thought it was great. I love the music. I can remember that. I don't remember where my keys are, but I can remember back to seeing the original Cabaret, and the music was wonderful. And then I called my wife the Polish Princess. Then we went to see Million Dollar Quartet, and I have to tell you, I was blown away. But there's nothing that can be said for great performances. That's all I'm going to say. What's the film that just come out? They're beating up about, was it Harrison Ford?
The new Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Dudes, look at it for what it is. You know, I will say this, and then I'll let you guys. I do a lot of critiques of the plays. First thing I tell everybody, I'm not a critic. I can't do what they do. I just can't do it. Okay. I mean, I've got a lot of things, but that's not, first of all, what gives you the credit? What course or college course did you take to make you a critic of other people's performance? I'm sorry. That's just my feeling. If I don't like a play, I don't say anything about it because I can't do it. If I like it, I get hate mail from people. We got it. We know you like it. Shut up. You know, but, and that's, I'm sorry. That's the way I feel. Well, let me say that. And everybody knows the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine. And those are my guests. They really represent the Pittsfield School Committee, School Department, Mayor Tyre in the mayor's office, Peter Marchetti in the city council, and or the four people that are waiting for the bicycle lane to open up. So then you got, what you're working on another film, Danny. What is that?
We've got another feature film I wrote. It's called Home. Also starring Rocco and Michael playing father and son again, great. Along with the incredible actress who played Michael's partner in Superman. She'll also be in Home. A few other friends of ours, and all sights are set on filming later this year.
Wow.
But it's a really fun script about the day as a cataclysmic event happens on Earth. Three adult children rush to their aging father's remote home. He lives off the grid. He's a retired mythology professor, kind of my nod to Joseph Campbell. And as they arrive and are forced to stay at the home as the rest of the world is dealing with cataclysmic news, they're forced to deal with decades of internal family struggle, we'll say.
Yeah.
So it's a friend of ours very aptly described it as a War of the Worlds meets August Osage County.
I love that.
Every so often you have to have a film that makes you think, a film, and that what you just said made me go back. I used to be a cop, and it was a beautiful old farm home, beautiful old farmhouse in the Berkshires here, and the mom and dad died, and there wasn't a will, and it was, and the brothers and sisters started fighting and countersuing, and finally the house just fell down. Just fell down. The roof started leaking and people were breaking in. And I remember the first call I got breaking in. I walked in the door and I was like, where are the people? There's cigarette butts in the ashtrays. There's booze in the closet, beer in the refrigerator. Those kinds of, I think we all need to see those. This film here, we all need to see. Superman, I mean that. We all should watch that.
Thank you.
No.
And I also want to give a lot of credit there. We had an amazing crew. We worked with a really small, tight-knit crew on the film, but our cinematographer, Joel Froom, who's just a master of light, the assistant camera, Aaron, ton of fun to have on set. Our sound guy, Darren Hallinan, who is a dear friend, an audio master, and just a ton of fun to work with. And our set VIP was our intern, Jake, who is a friend of mine's 17-year-old son.
Amazing.
Who had a little bit of interest in film. And we invited him to set. He jumped right in, had the time of his life, and has since become quite a successful artist. He's someone to look out for. So it was a really amazing all-around experience getting to work with such a fun, wonderful team.
Yeah.
I got to have my best friend's 5-year-old kid do the voiceover for the little boy. So
yeah,
made it a full family affair. My parents were the producers, and
wow.
Well, yeah,
the film. I'm trying to find words for it. It's a film that made me stop just to pee that I saw. This could be a conversation between myself and my father, or my grandfather. It went right to my soul, kind of thing. And you know, when I just what you just said is important. When I was young and traveling and on my career, we moved a lot, and my son was great with that. And it was very difficult because he'd make friends and then we'd have to get transferred. And I said this thing, and I recommend you guys do it, Making Memories. And I wrote an article many years ago for a magazine. And whenever you do something like you're doing, you're helping me make memories. And you guys should record that. You know, the memories that you got from the parts that you, who am I telling these guys? They're professional. But if you're sitting around some night and you got nothing better to do, say, you know what, I'm going to start jogging down my memories. And because down the road, you might want to share those with somebody, is all I'm
saying. True.
You know, you reach a point in life when you realize you're not going to be here forever. And what you leave, I just want to leave people laughing when they think of me, and that's all. So Rock, you're going to stay here through the heat wave up here in the shop?
We're here. Yeah. Until I have a reason to go down, you know, I'm going to, you know, dental appointments and all that other rigmarole, you know, those wonderful things. But it's hot down there and it's hot and you know, there's no, and you know, it's Danny, you should come up, it's cool, you know, we don't even have air conditioning, you know?
Yeah,
so it's, we got the extra room, so help me with my tomatoes.
And you're right around the corner from me, what more could you want?
I mean, come on
dude, you know, you could be down there in New York with all those big shots. You come up here, you meet a nobody. But you know, Michael, what do you have in your future? Anything you're planning on? Parts or chasing parts or whatever?
Yeah. Well, you know, the film that Danny mentioned, the home feature film, that is that's another incredible and role as an actor. I mean, all of the roles in the film, but you know, the dynamic between my character and Rocco's character, it's the sky's the limit on that one. So very much looking forward to that. I have some other smaller things going on, but cool. But that is Danny, you know, there's a saying in our business, there are directors, and then there are what's referred to as actors directors. And so a director, and not that either is necessarily negative, a director, you know, that's just referred to in that way might be someone making $100 million Marvel film with all kinds of explosions and car chases and stuff like that, you know, and that's great, you know, that's entertaining. An actor's director is someone who, and often who is also the writer, is someone who puts the character and the arc and how that relates to the plot, puts that front and center.
Yeah,
and those films are often a bit more speaking directly and intimately to the human condition, to Rocco's earlier point.
Yeah.
So, you know, Danny has this ability to write forget three-dimensional characters. Let's call them seven-dimension characters, you know, with very rich backstories and interpersonal dynamics. And, you know, I think a big takeaway on Superman is that it imagined a scenario where you could have one last drink and conversation with someone that was gone from your life.
Yeah.
And it was sort of eerie to be making that film during the COVID period, because we were constantly hearing about death, particularly in New York City. You know, there was a daily count, right, here in Brooklyn. So it was easy for me to think like, well, okay, what would this be like? And what would you say, right? Like, what would, like, yeah. Bill, for instance, I mean, you mentioned it, like, what would you say to your dad if you had 20 more
that's
minutes?
What struck me. That's tonight, that's what struck right? me was, and what made me relive it and rethink it and saying, boy, if I just had, and I we're running out of time, but I just have to say this. Danny, thank you for this. And Rocco and Michael, thank you for being in it. And I mean that sincerely. And when you get the other one done, Rock can get a hold of me. We'll do the same thing. And I'm a big promoter of Rocco's. You know that. Now I'm going to be a big promoter of YouTube, because you make things that touch the heart. You know, those films that Michael just said, they're great. I mean, they're entertaining as hell, you know, but when I reach a point, the point that I'm at in life, I want something that's going to touch me, and I was selfish, but that I can carry on and pass on to my grandson, to my son, you know, and I can't thank you guys for taking the time to come on. Danny, I take Rocco, get up here quickly, you know.
On my way.
And yeah, we can find the film.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can watch Superman online. You can search for it on Vimeo, Superman short film. You can search for it on YouTube, Superman short film. It's on a channel called Crafty. That is a great platform of filmmakers supporting filmmakers by sharing short films.
And thank you again for coming on. Please keep me posted on the progress of your next film. And get, spell that, what is it, Frappy? F?
Crafty. C-R-A-F-T-Y. Named after, on film sets, you have craft services, and right. We always call it Crafty. And it's bite-sized films. So it's a little snack-sized films.
Bites. Oh, those are cool. I wouldn't know about them, but because I don't eat anything less than a large pizza. All I can tell you guys is thanks a million. I hope this has been worthwhile of your time. Rock, I'll see you in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And best of luck for everything. And I
mean,
Danny, don't give up that inner voice. That's all. I'm an old, you don't have to listen to me. I don't know. What do I know about anything? But that inner voice jumps out at people.
Thank you.
And these two guys made it jump.
They are the best. Watching Rocco zero in on set, when he goes from, oh yeah, yeah, that sounds fun, that sounds fun, I'm acting.
Yeah.
Watching a pro of his caliber sink in like that, like just switch it on, is magic. It was the experience of a lifetime.
You don't have to tell me about Rocco.
You make me blush.
We're good neighbors, but more importantly, we're good friends. All right, now, if you guys don't want to go, you don't have to, but I have to read the announcements, or I will get hate mail, which I will forward to all of you. The Berkshire County Historical Society presents Rewritten, an impressive performance created by performed by Tom Truss and Matthew Kuby. Rewritten explores the intimate relationship between Herman Melville and Nathaniel Hawthorne. through dance, live music, and production. So that sounds like a really cool thing. That's going to be taking place at performances July 13th through the 16th. And tickets are at price, and you can do that. That will be at the Berkshire Historical Society, Herman Melville. We got a lot of old people lived here, like Melville and them. They wrote books. Moby Dick, some story about a guy in a yacht or something. Also, I will be doing a show very shortly that will help recruit people, I hope, to take puppies to help this society that works with seeing eye dogs. There's a lot of demand. There's a lot of demand, and there's not a lot of people willing to do it. So I'm going to have one of the people who do it for others, you know, service above self kind of thing. Last, yeah. Rocco, I want you at this, and don't make me go looking for you just because you're Italian. The Polish Picnic 2023, Sunday, July the 16th, 12 noon to 5 p.m., St. Joseph's Parish grounds, the Mother Church of the Berkshires on 440 North Street. They'll have all those fine delights, kielbasa, kapusta, galumpki, pierogi, and then they'll throw some hamburgers and hot dogs in for you foreigners.
Jak jamash,
Jankuya. all I can say, guys, there's more, but I just thank you for doing this. Thank you for that show. One more time, tell the folks how they can watch Superman on the short.
Superman can be found on YouTube. Search for Superman short film. You'll find it on a channel called Crafty. You can also search for it on Vimeo. You can find us on IMDb. And thanks.
YouTube.
All right, guys.
Right? On YouTube. Yep, that's where I'll find it. Hey, listen, guys, thanks a million. And, Brock, I'll see you in the neighborhood. I'm looking forward to your next productions, and we'll do this again.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Thanks, guys. Keep on.